words. Take my hand. Now open your mind to me. Please. Open your mind. Open your mind. Open your mind.
This is Monica Perez, your libertarian voice on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB every Saturday from 3 to 6. Going pretty deep on big topics. This week, I feel like the topic of the tariffs and the what I consider to be 100%, as Dean from Twitter would say, Kabuki theater, 100%, this tension between Wilbur Ross and Peter Navarro and Gary Cohn over tariffs, to the point where Gary Cohn just had to walk away. With all respect, I just can't stay here for this. I can't. It's just morally, and it's just against my economic religion to be in the presence of a tariff. I've got to go.
So evil.
Yes, because he does not compromise. That guy. So
yeah, right.
he's gonna run Goldman Sachs, but that guy is just never. He can't even countenance wrong thing. So he's a globalist. Trump chuckles. You know, I feel like he's the good globalist. Trump thinks that's funny. You're always welcome here. You're a globalist, but that's all right. Don't hold that against him.
Go make a couple hundred million, come
go
back.
That's what Trump actually says, a funny little clip of Trump telling him to go make a couple hundred million and come back. So he's a big globalist, so is Wilbur Ross. So, and we've been really digging into Stacey Abrams and her tactics and what I think her real agenda is. But it's got a little, I think that part of her tactics are divisiveness. And I think some of this stuff is kind of depressing. So I wanted to tell you about it. Last night, I was at an event that is the cure, provides the cure for divisiveness. It is the antidote. It is the antidote. It was a room full of love, acceptance, togetherness. It had every race, creed, all combinations.
Did you go to Woodstock or what?
No, I went to the talent show of my son. He has a youth group. This is my son who has Down syndrome. And these kids are, you know, this is not like nobody's there because they have dyslexia. You know, these are people with real extraordinary challenges, to the point where you wouldn't, you know, they're so defined, like, you know, this is identity politics. Their identity is so defined by their disability. You know, you wouldn't even, might not even know, you know, what race they are or what family they belong to in the room. And I was surprised even that so many kids got up. I mean, their kids were nonverbal who chose a song. So they stood there with a mic in their hands. It really chokes me up. Then couldn't sing the song, really, you know, but they wanted to. They just kind of swayed to the music, and then the audience people would clap and sing the song if they knew the words. It was really moving. And my son, I wasn't going to let him do it because I've never been to the talent show before. I didn't realize that it was like truly a free-for-all, but he really wanted to do it. So it's like, okay, he knows all the words to Lion Eyes by the Eagles. So I just said, you know, if you have time, like, go ahead. So he got up and they played Take It to the Limit. So he didn't know the words, and he just literally, it was like listening to a Bazenji yowl. Like, he just was faking it at the top of his lungs, words he did not know.
That's awesome. He committed to it.
My husband and I were just cracking up. It was sad. You know, I felt bad for him. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, buddy, I'm sorry. I think I, you know, confused the words. I was like, oh, it's fine, Mom. And people were walking up to him, like, high-fiving him. That was great. I'm like, it was a complete disaster. But everybody, you know, it's just a room full of people with the same challenges, the same values, the same goals. I mean, talk about in it together. You know, like, you're just, when you're facing those kind of challenges, you really understand the meaning and the power of community. I mean, it was just, it's just so, it was like one of the best shows I've ever been to. And some of the singers could not, physically were incapable of singing. It was great.
But they committed 150% to it, and that's what makes it good. That's what makes it great.
It was great. Because I was really amazed because there were kids there who you really can't communicate with, who get nervous when you talk to them. And really, I think just about every person who could ascend the stage put something on. It was really fantastic. And it, you know, drives home to me when I see that. Like, that is the power of community. It's the power of family. It's the power of compassion. It brings out, on the one hand, the nobility of human beings who do that work, who help us, you know, in the community. And it also, there's something interesting about having a child with that level of special needs, especially for me, who's like hyper intellectual. You know, I always thought of what separates man from the animals is like the capacity for abstract thought, you know, intellectual conversation. And then I have this kid who they told me in the beginning, you may not ever be able to understand his speech. And I thought, like, how is this a human being I'm going to be able to relate to? And funny is that he showed me like the true kind of, you know, I hate to get religious because I'm really not religious. I respect, you know, the spirit of it. I have a hard time understanding what it's going to be like to like have a post-death conversation in the afterlife. But you know, you look at, you're supposed to see like the face of Jesus, you know, the like bigotry is a crime against the Holy Spirit. It's a sin against the Holy Spirit. You have to love people. You have to see through their, you know, beneath their surface to like that divine spark. And these kids, like you can't, there is only divine spark. They're naked in that way. And it shows, and they just love you. That's why, like, they literally loved this terrible version of Take It to the Limit. They loved it because they love him, and he loves them. It was just, it was very moving. Maybe I'm belaboring, but this is the lesson in that we don't. So the Stacey Abrams speech that kind of we launched our conversation about her with, about, you know, they believe in the power of government to humanize, you know. And I think it's the opposite. I think that it's that abandonment of your own sense of empowerment that makes you look to this other power. And you wouldn't even do that if your family were not weakened, if your community were not weakened. And those things happen, I think, deliberately, but certainly at the hands of government. There was actually Clarendon Piven who wanted to and went into inner cities to break up families in the 60s in order to promote welfare so the system would collapse and we could have like a communist revolution. I mean, they're not, they know that they have to break up these networks of personal support in order to have that centralized power. So I say, don't fall for it.
Yeah, that personal support protects people from those manipulative forces because they have a set of values ingrained in them that they react to. By breaking up the family, and this is grounded in Leninism, then they lose those set of values, and then the organizers come in and replace them with their own.
And by those values being eroded, you don't have those safety nets that values like that bring, because you look at your family and you know, there but for the grace of God go I. This kid is not going to be able to support himself, but it could have been me. That's what I say to my other kids. Would you rather trade places with them, or would you rather, you know, help them take a shower? You know what I mean? Like, and then you think that, and you know that, and that's the insurance policy that love and family really bring. And when that's gone, you're desperate and afraid and vulnerable.
Yes.
So, you know, I feel like there that we shouldn't lose sight of what really, that without charity, like true love, that stuff's empty anyway. They can't deliver that promise because they really don't have your best interest at heart. They can't. How can they know you? How can they care about you? One person could fall through the cracks and they wouldn't even know it, but you're that person.
Yeah. And I think true love is actually vulnerability without the fear of exploitation. Whereas vulnerability with fear of exploitation is when you don't have those values to rely on.
That's a little too deep.
That's
for
deep.
Me. So, but I wanted to, I'm not sure if this is a natural segue, but there were a really interesting couple of clips from Abrams that I think, and again, I'm really actually not trying to really come down on her. I think what she represents from both the future politics and political style in this country, as well as the future kind of worldwide legal framework, economic framework, is really really informs us, and that's why I'm going to follow her closely. But she said something that, a couple of things that I found very interesting, and I feel, let's see if you can tell why I feel like this is really an extension of what Obama promised. So let's do clip 21, please.
I'm asking for Georgians' votes now, because every Georgian is a partner in our effort to change the state. And now you're a part of that transformational effort. Because when we change Georgia, we can change the South. And when we change the South, we can change the nation.
So she's talking, remember, Obama said he would fundamentally transform this country. And she said it's transformational. She wants to change Georgia. She wants to change the South. She wants to change the country. And I noticed that for a couple of years, like as soon as the real hardcore Confederate flag, operation started, that it was about changing the South. It wasn't just those symbols are offensive. It was those symbols matter, and there was a cultural power there they wanted to undermine. Not whether or not it's racist, I don't think they really care. It's that it's a part of the culture, and culture creates community, and they care about that culture, cult. But I noticed that Trump's polarization was sparking a backlash that could be phase two of the fundamental transformation Obama promised, that he was really a Manchurian candidate. I got a lot of flack for that. Again, I'm not trying to hurt people, make people uncomfortable. I just trying to figure stuff out, and I'm telling you what I think. And I've said that before. Then, thank you, Binkley, gives me this clip, clip 14.
I think Trump has been just the fuel we needed to accelerate our progress. But he has had an extraordinary ability to unify every community that opposes him.
So this reflects to me, or echoes, what we heard in last week's show when Manchin of West Virginia, the senator, said, President Trump, my people trust you. They know you would never do anything to hurt them. So if you take their guns away, they will allow it. You know? Whereas no, Obama couldn't do that. It was something crazy like that. I mean, you know, they weren't saying take the guns away. There was just gun control legislation that Republicans would never want. You know, people who live in, the woods are, to the extent that there is a large rural population in West Virginia, you can't want them to come and take your long guns, of all things. So it was clear to me that whether Trump means to or not, whether it was intended or not, I foresaw it. I felt that this polarization might come back to bite the people who want to restore things like the Constitution and Bill of Rights, not to fundamentally transform this nation. I mean, that, you know, that's really saying we're going to end the American experiment. And we should understand that. Is that what we want? Is there true progress? You know, are we elevating to a new level of society that we don't need individual rights as they are defined in this country? You know, that's really, I think, what she's saying. 404-872-0750, 800-WSB-TALK. You can tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Monica Perez.
You maniac! You blew it up!
On News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
High today of 65, tomorrow's high 60. Weekend weather is brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air, and I have a weekend prize pack for you. You guys ready for that? Everybody ready? It is a family four-pack of tickets to $5 Dry Fit Frenzy Night at the Atlanta Gladiators game on Saturday, March 17th at Infinite Energy Arena, and a four-pack of tickets to the Atlanta International Auto Show, March 21st to the 25th in Building C at the Georgia World Congress Center. The first to call 404-741-0750 gets that prize pack, and good luck. That sounds like fun. So I want to talk about like kind of a little bigger picture thing. I was saying before, like, that Obama said he wanted to fundamentally transform this nation. And I really did see it when I first moved to Georgia, or maybe after a couple of years. I felt like the attack on the Confederate flag as a symbol was about rooting out the culture. You know, like it's a conservative kind of Republican gun rights culture. And if you can disrupt that culture, you can probably make way on some of those policies. And I noticed with the Ossoff campaign that it was called Flip the Sixth. So is both Tom Price got pulled out of there, and boy, did the Democrat give the Republican a run for their money in that Newt Gingrich's seat. Like, that was pretty shocking. And then what was even more shocking was that Jeff Sessions, who won 97% of the popular vote, his seat was lost to a Democrat. And now Sessions and Tom Price is even out of the administration, but they're out of the lawmaking bodies. And an unprecedented number of Republicans have stepped down in before the midterm elections. Midterm elections are when you're the weakest as a party anyway, if your guy is in the White House. So I see all this stuff, and surely the implications are not lost on these people. I have to say, my old hashtag, I've dusted off the hashtag lose on purpose, because I wonder if these guys are deliberately making way for the blue wave. You know, I was calling it Flip the South, Flip the Flyovers, but they're calling it the blue wave. And when Stacey Abrams says, we're going to flip Georgia, we're going to flip the South, we're going to flip the country, I think we need to take that seriously. Now, Binkley, my producer here, is kind of laughing. Why are you laughing at me, Binkley?
Ted Cruz was on Chris Cuomo's show the other day, and Cruz said, everybody talked about how there's going to be a blue wave in Texas. And then Cuomo jumps in and goes, but that blue wave ran into a red wall. I just thought it was hilarious.
Cuomo said that?
Yeah.
You know, Chris Cuomo drives me absolutely crazy because his brother and his father were the governor of New York.
Yeah.
And like, how is that an objective news source? You know, obviously, if you think I'm a conspiracy theorist because I think that the media and the government are like interwoven, just check that out. Or that like Anderson Cooper's only job besides the media was in the CIA. Like, you know, you've got to just wonder what, you know, what just
and they phrase their headlines as accusations against conservatives most of the time.
What do you mean? You got like 2 seconds to tell me what you mean.
Trump denies having an affair with Stormy Daniels. He did. You know, like in parentheses.
Oh.
He did have an affair, stuff like that.
But when you dig into that Stormy Daniels stuff, it's just like the Russia stuff. Like, there is no smoking gun, and they do it on purpose. It's that art of ambiguity that, you know, keeps us at each other's throats. And when we actually have so much in common in just protecting our basic rights, which are getting taken away from us. It's, you know, protecting our property. Our very lives sometimes. Let's wrap it up after this. 404-872-0750 or tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Monica Perez.
Well, no one's going to top that.
On News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
I am the Libertarian Voice on WSB. Saturdays from 3 to 6. And we are, I guess, in the home stretch because it's 5:36 and I'm here with Binkley, my producer, who helps with the show, reads my tweets, does a lot of work behind the scenes to bring us these smoking gun clips that are, you know, we're using as an object lesson or an example, I should say, of tactics and strategies, both downward towards the people and upwards towards the masters, that I think Stacey Abrams kind of personifies. She's really a created person. She's a member of Council on Foreign Relations, but her background of fellowship after fellowship in different subject areas and especially different geographic regions really points to the fact that she's really going to be a player on the world stage. Her kind of big move is to be governor of Georgia. And I've noticed before, especially when Kasim Reed took office, that Atlanta was really going to be a world city. It's actually on the International Steering Committee of the UN's Strong Cities. And you don't hear a lot about it, but there is internationalism. There is this globalism that these institutions like the one she's affiliated with has strategies, tactics, they have goals, and they teach you how to go back to your communities and bring those communities along. I was reading an article. People think you're crazy. I talk about like the IMF. The IMF comes in, gives you a loan, and then when you can't pay the loan back, they own your assets. And that is just a big bank controlled by big bankers. And, you know, you're called a conspiracy theorist when you see that. Funny enough, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal this week that talked about, lamented how China's New Silk Road was China going into countries, building their infrastructure, and then when they can't pay the loans, or the deal is China controls that infrastructure. They were lamenting that China was replacing the IMF in controlling these small countries along the way, where they're going to own 75% of the structural assets in these countries, and how bad that would be, and how you can really enslave the population and rob them of all their wealth. I mean, they didn't spell it out like that. But that's what this stuff is all about. And it's governments that are undermining other governments. I mean, you have to think about whether that's okay, you know, and our government, or certainly these institutions do, where this American Assembly at Columbia University, where Abrams was a fellow, talks about using military force, cultural influence, and alliance building to achieve practical goals in the exercise of power. You know, and they're talking about everything from controlling the digital landscape to controlling how you live and where you live. And one of the agenda items also is taking like food producing land offline. Like, private property is okay as long as it isn't food producing land. That was in UN's Habitat One. So that's just, you know, I've been trying to kind of flesh out what is globalism and what I'm worried about there. And you know, maybe you embrace it. Maybe this is what you want. I mean, what I don't like about it is it feels like this consumerist, materialist monoculture that lacks soul and individuality. But also the worst part is the ends justify the means in this mentality. So people die. I mean, they use bombs to open up markets. I mean, I wonder if Vietnam was really about that, about opening up Asia to industrialization just to have, you know, a new avenue for cheap labor and consumption, kind of mercantilism. But these are deep subjects. I think we've done enough deep. So, Binkley, thank you for your patience. Do you have a tweet for me?
Yes, I have one from Shrop Daddy, who tweets, "I wouldn't underestimate Stacey Abrams. Her resume is better than Obama's. We also have to remember that government has been educating the masses for 40 years. Millions are willing to trade freedom for a semblance of security."
Yeah, that's true. And one of her things is she doesn't like, she says privatization is bad. What she's talking about is privatizing schools. I don't like public-private partnerships. I think they're a scam. They're just a way to keep transparency out of the system. And I don't like it. I like free enterprise. Shut down the public schools. If you're worried about school shootings, don't send your kids to public school. Do a homeschool, you know? But this government education really does, and a lot of private schools too, indoctrinate the kids in ideology that is, A, you know, not grounded in principles that would support the founding documents and laws of this country, but they also they make people vulnerable to this kind of lockstep, you know, thoughtless kind of socialism, I think. But
they make them get in formation.
Yeah, which is one of the slogans of this campaign: get in formation. I mean, that's scary. So let's just, as a an example of some of the tactics that are used here to kind of get you to get information and to get the people around you information. And this also shows Shrop Daddy is right. You should not underestimate Stacey Abrams because she has the education, mm-hmm. she has the backstory, she has the funding, she has the skills,
yeah.
and not just to speak and answer questions. See, that's the thing. Normally, you know, it's you're super highly educated. She went to Yale Law School. You can answer questions, policy questions, understand the depth. She can do that, and she can also be a kind of grassroots leader. And that was something that Obama was able to do, both of those things, and it's very powerful. So let's hear her. I think she's still in training a little bit. She needs more practice, but listen to what to this is her getting people going. Clip 13.
First, you have to do what?
Educate.
Okay, I'm a daughter. of ministers. You got to do better than that. You got to do what?
Activate.
The second thing I need you to do is activate. Say activate.
Activate.
Once we have educated, once we've explained what they've done, we have to explain what to do to them. We spend too much time being the experimented upon instead of the ones in the laboratory. We have to be willing to activate people and get them to turn out to vote. And the third thing we need to do is agitate. Say agitate.
Agitate!
I knew that would be your favorite one. Y'all were loud. If you educate, if you explain what has been done, and you activate, you explain what needs to be done, tell them what's been done to them and tell them how to do something about it. When we don't behave, when politicians lie to you and show up and tell you nice stories and don't do their job, we have to agitate.
She's really walking people through the process of how, you know, protest is important. I am an absolute diehard defender of the First Amendment. I think it can be abused, at the local level, telling localities how to deal with religion. But I would always err on the side of supporting the First Amendment. I believe in all of that. There is something about this information stuff. And there was a clip Binkley played for us a while ago where the leader was saying, I don't do anything if I'm not told to do it. And they were saying, we vote together, collective vote, collective vote. It's highly contradictory here where they're acting like they're liberating you. And really, they just want you to get in lockstep and you have to trust them. And they say that.
Yeah. And that was Linda Sarsour, the face of the Women's March movement.
Oh, Linda Sarsour was the one who called for the collective vote?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a fundamental contradiction to me to tell people that they're oppressed based on their identity, and then calling upon them to function only in light of identity with nothing below it. There really are no fundamental morals, principles, or policies in the messaging. Collective vote, get information, trust. I mean, what do you think?
I think they better hope that whoever they're trusting is one of the first powerful politicians to truly have their interest in mind. Because if not, then they're going to end up being, they're not going to get their needs fulfilled like they're hoping for.
But you rightly pointed out that by focusing on Donald Trump, that's how they get their focus off, like the policies, off what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, they unify a bunch of groups that have conflicting interests by focusing them only on Donald Trump's hate instead of focusing on the specific policies.
Right. And that perhaps what happens to the Republican Party, all the infighting in the Republican Party, I always think it's a natural extension of the fact that Republican voters are generally small government voters, which puts them at odds with politicians, even politicians who call themselves Republicans. But as we started our analysis of Abrams, she said Republicans have a problem. They don't believe in government and they're trying to control government. But progressives are unified in our faith in the power and promise of government.
Yeah.
So maybe at the end of the day, what they'll end up doing is actually have divisiveness within the Democrat Party. Maybe that somehow will work to their favor. You know, maybe they'll then be able to dictate how things go if there isn't a unified Democratic policy platform.
Well, they are separate. They distinguish themselves from the Democratic establishment. Further left than them.
So they're what the Tea Party actually was, but... You know, they call it that. Actually, that Netroots Nation, I Googled it. It's for internet and grassroots.
Yeah.
That's what that stands for. So, which I'm not sure that's like even...
Internationally funded grassroots.
Yeah. And the internet is like, by definition, not, you know, physical. It's not grassroots. So anyway. All right. I'm going to take a quick call. Brian in Gainesville, you are on with Monica.
Hey, Monica. This is Brian Gainesville.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I'm calling because you got a show about conspiracies and stuff, and I believe that the media is breaking in my home when I go to work, and I believe that it's the BBC, and I believe they're coming in our country, setting up shop and running a little game show without people's permission, and I'd like it to stop.
What makes you think that?
Well, I got a lot of reasons, got a lot of evidence to prove it.
Give me one example.
Well, one example is stuff gets moved around my house on purpose when I'm gone. Another example is people on the radio talk to me. He knew who I am. But if you say you don't, then you're part of the conspiracy as well.
Well, I can't speak to that. I don't know who you are. I'm sorry. But and stuff moving around, I can't say that. But I did read an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal this week that was kind of whitewashing what I do think is some unauthorized surveillance, which is the article was about, like, Facebook is not listening to you. It's just using algorithms to pump up ads that seem like they reflect what you were just talking about. And I personally do call BS on that, because I've seen ads pop up, maybe not in Facebook, but in my Yahoo Mail and stuff, that reflect something I have said, but have not Googled, have not communicated electronically at all. So I will go as far as to say I do think they're listening. I do. I mean, the article said it would be impossible to sort through all that data, but I don't believe that. I don't think that we're told how sophisticated the technology is. I know some companies have authorization to go through your emails for invoices of things you've bought in order to pump out the ads to you. That's like a thing you can turn on and off in your Yahoo. So I don't blame you for thinking that something weird is going on. This sounds extra weird, so I hope that you get to the bottom of it. We are going to wrap it up after the break. This is Monica Perez.
Monica Perez.
Wow, that was intense.
On News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Early morning showers, then clearing skies with a high of 53 forecast for Monday as the work week begins, but that could change. So stay tuned to WSB for weekend weather brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. I have a quick announcement to make. Next Sunday, March 18th at 2 p.m. at McEachern UMC Church Field on Mackland Road in Powder Springs is opening day for Alternative Baseball, starring players with autism and other special needs. It's, as they say, it's 9 innings of awe-inspiring action. And you know I'm a sucker for that stuff. So I highly recommend you check that out. ABO Alternative Baseball Organization, March 18th, 2 p.m. in Powder Springs. So hopefully, if that's of interest. Also, Binkley. So we're wrapping it up. And I think we should tell people how to hear maybe this show in its entirety and commercial free and our other shows. What do people need to know about how to get more of Binkley and Perez?
Go to PropagandaReportDaily.com, and on the right, you're going to see an Apple icon and an Android icon. You can click on those to subscribe to the podcast, and I will be updating the ones that I've been behind on over the past few weeks.
You don't have to out yourself as being a little behind. You did a lot of work on this show today, these clips. I do not like to pile on a person, but the clips that you found were so representative of the tactics that actually I feel like it diffuses the ability of being manipulated just to see the nature of the manipulation.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why for my kids to go to school, I always wanted them to study under the trivium, which is grammar, which is like stuff to learn. And then in middle school, it's logic. Everybody gets that. But in high school, it's rhetoric, where you learn how to influence people. And in that way, you recognize how you get influenced. And John Taylor Gatto turned me on to that and talked about how, like, the senators in D.C., like 80% of them at this time anyway that he was talking, were educated at these private schools that still use the trivium, where the public schools don't. So they're versed in the art of persuasion, which also gives them armor against it. And we're not. We're vulnerable.
A lot of them, they have to take acting classes too. It's required.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
You're blowing my mind, dude. Wow. On that big brain bomb note, I will say I believe I'm on from 3 to 6 for the duration. That's the Monica Perez Show, your libertarian voice on WSB. Thank you, Rachel, Justin, Binkley. Until next week, you can get more of our stuff on PropagandaReportDaily.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.